Greg, would you come? And with this lively music that Jane is playing, would you empty your pockets for the kids who are away to help finance our Kids Away hotline? Just empty your pockets with change, would you? The livelier the music, the more the rattling of the change. Jody is staying temporarily, and just for several more weeks in Sundale, there is on her bedroom wall this picture. It's a picture of a cat hanging on to a rope, and it says, "Help me hang in, Lord." Is that what it says, Jody? Help me hang in, Lord? Okay, I'm confusing that one with the other one that I saw with this cat hanging on to a rope, and it said, "Hang in there, baby." Well, both are okay. Hang in there, baby. Or help me to hang in there, Lord. And I would venture to say every single one of you are in a tightrope situation right now. You young people, peer pressure, things are happening at home. You adults, husbands, wives, marital problems, you got finance difficulties, you got job situations. The gamut is so wide of where we are struggling through it all. And God is saying to his people, hang in there, baby. He is saying something to our heart that would make us reply by saying to one another, help me hang in there, Lord. Say it, would you? Help me hang in there, Lord. Father God, as we open the word this day, we pray that we would open our minds to what you're actually saying to us in the situation that we are going through, to hang in there and to tell one another, hang in there, Lord, with the Lord. We can hang in. We will hang in. Amen. Let's hang chapter 31 of Genesis, may we? Turn, if you would, in your Bible to that passage of Scripture. And as we find Genesis 32 speaking to us a story, I think that we can go away in just a little bit saying it's been good to be in the house of God because we have worshiped the Lord in the spirit of holiness. But on top of that, I've gone away hanging on to a truth that's going to help me hang on to a difficult situation in the middle school, grammar school, the high school campus, in our own lives, in our jobs, right where we are. In Genesis chapter 32, we have a ninth scene taking place, and we have the story of one of the greatest, most famous combats in all history. Genesis chapter 32. Reading verse 24. Jacob stayed there behind alone, and then a man came, or an angel came, and wrestled with him until just before daybreak. When the man saw that he was not winning the struggle, he hit Jacob on the hip, and it was thrown out of joint. And the man said, and I'm using today's English version, which uses the word man, but most of you will find the word angel in your scripture, and so I'm going to transliterate over to angel. The angel said, "Let me go. Daylight is coming." "I won't unless you bless me," Jacob answered. "What's your name?" the angel asked. "Jacob," he answered. And the angel said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob. You have struggled with God, and you have struggled with men, and you have won. So your name will be Israel." Jacob said, "Now tell me your name." But he answered, "Why do you want to know my name?" And then he blessed Jacob. And Jacob said, "I have seen God face to face, and I'm still alive." So he named the place Peniel. The sun rose as Jacob was leaving, and he was limping because of his hip. And even today, the descendants of Israel do not eat the muscle which is on the hip joint, because it was on this muscle that Jacob was hit. This is an evening battle, a combat battle. And we've heard of war stories and combat battles that have come from Korea, from Vietnam. Even now, Operation Desert Shield, there seems to be sometimes a conflict on the water with various naval personnel and ships. There is the combat, so to speak. But of all the combats, this is one of the greatest combats in all recorded history that we've just read from Genesis chapter 32, where a man, during the hours of night, decided that he was going to have a confrontation with an angel, and we read that there was a great struggling that took place. And I want you to see today that in the struggles that we are in right now with a church, in that we do not have walls in 8 more Sundays, in the struggle that you are in personally, in the struggle that you are in with your family, in the struggle that you're going through with your business, with the struggle that you're going through with relatives and with neighbors and with all other sorts of things and people, you are not alone in your struggle. For in your struggle, God, at your point, is going to send an angel, as in the case here. And we're going to find that as this man found what we need to know today, he did not rely on his own strength. But he finally resorted to the weapons of prayer, and he succeeded. And this is the bottom line. In fact, the sermon in a nutshell, if the sermon is good, you could be able to make it one statement, and that would be the sermon. And here's the statement. That which hinders us in our growth in grace, or our growth, that which hinders us in our growth is not so much our spiritual weakness as it is our confidence that we have in our natural strength. Let me repeat. The thing that hinders us in our growth is not so much our spiritual weakness that we might have, as much as the confidence that we have in our natural strength. In verse 1, where we find the word man in my translation, and maybe yours too, you'll also find angel in most of the other translations. The word angel means messenger, that person who is being sent by God to minister, to employ. And it's an office like that God has given angels from time to time. Evidently, the angel came in a human form, surrounded by light, surrounded by glory, and surrounded by an aura that just made Jacob realize he was in the presence of a supernatural being. And the scripture calls the angels God's host, or God's camp, or his army, like in wars. For angels are God's soldiers, according to Luke's writings. And angels are right now fighting for God's people. And the number of angels are thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. And God has his soldiers that we call angels that are out working. And believe it or not, they're working right now for this church, for you. God's got angels. If we only could see them.
the angels that are in this room right now. The angels that are in King City right now, having been sent here by God on a special errand to help us through a difficult situation as a community church body, as well as difficult situations as individual members of a local congregation. God's got these angels. And the scripture says here that the angel met him. And I want you to notice this. Jacob was in the path of obedience at this time. He was doing what God wanted him to do. God was favoring him right now with another revelation to strengthen his faith and to inspire this man with courage for what lay ahead of him, which was the meeting with his brother and 400 men. And I've underlined this in my notes. While we as a group, or while we as individuals, are in the path of obedience, we must expect to encounter that which will test our faith. Even if we're on the path of obedience, as he was, and as we as a church are, and as you individual members trustingly are, we can still expect God to test us and to test our faith. And not the least of such trials will be that which to all outward appearance says, well, God's against you. You've prayed for this and you didn't get it. And so the outward appearance says, God's against you. God's against the church. God's against individuals. When outward appearance may look this way, we start along the path that God has chosen for the community church and for us individually. And as we start out, we're going to be encouraged by plain revelations from himself, tokens of his approval, and we'll get strength from him to get us through as we go through a very foggy path. And true, we are walking in the fog as a church. Not only as a church, but some of you individuals are walking in the fog too. And if you walk through a fog, you only can see your feet and what little lights around you. And so you want to walk very carefully, circumspectly, and patiently, but you must move. You must move. If you're on the highway at night and you're in the fog, you don't stop your car unless you be hit from behind with another car. You move. So God is telling us to move forward with our faith in the fog, and then the shining light that he gives us individually will illumine our path as we go, and then we will have encounters much like Jacob did when the angel met him. I want you to see two things this day. The first has to do with the scripture that we just read. Turn back, if you will, to Genesis chapter 32. I want you to see in verse 24 and verse 25 the struggle. The struggle that this man went forth. When the angel saw that he was not winning the struggle, he hit Jacob on the hip. There was a great struggle going on. The kind of a struggle that you would tend to, if you could envision in your mind, two men that were really wrestling together. This is a great wrestling match. They are wrestling together. Wrestling. And the scripture tells us that they were wrestling until just before daybreak, which means that they went on a long time. It wasn't a 3-minute round. It went on all night. Just before daybreak, something started happening. I think here that you'll find something very important. The scripture says in verse 24, he stayed behind alone. He was left alone. This is the very first key to the incident. He was left alone. How important it is, people, to be alone, to be left alone with God. It's the true way of arriving at a knowledge of ourselves. It's a true way of arriving to a knowledge of the way of our church to be. And we can never get a true estimate of ourselves until we get alone. You can never understand yourself until you are alone. The true estimate of our nature and all the things that we do come out when we have weighed them in the balance of a solitude sanctuary. And there we can really figure out who we are and what we are. And no matter what we may think about ourselves, and yes, no matter what other people think about us, The question is, what does God think about us? And you can only answer that question when you are alone with God, just between you and God, in the stillness of the night, for example, or in the stillness of the day. When you get away from the world and you are away from everything else except yourself, your thoughts, your reasonings, your imaginings, and your emotions, along with God. And thus, when you are alone with God, then you can get a correct understanding of yourself. This great wrestling match started when a man was alone by himself. He was left alone to feel, to reach out, to search. Silence. Often God can't even find us alone because we're so busy. He can't even find us alone because the world's crowded us out so much. So just be alone. Find these worship times when you can be alone with God. Then the scripture says that while he was left alone, then there wrestled with him a man. I want you to notice this. Jacob did not wrestle the angel. He was not wrestling with the angel. The scripture says the angel was wrestling with him. That's very important. Later we'll find that he clings for a blessing. But here there's the wrestling. It says that the angel wrestled with him. You see, Jacob was not wrestling with him to obtain a blessing. Instead, the angel was wrestling with Jacob to get something from him. The picture is not Jacob wrestling with his angel saying, give me, I want this, I want that. No, it's the other way around. The angel was wrestling Jacob, trying to get something from Jacob. And God today is wrestling with us, trying so hard to get something from us. What was it? What is it? In the case of Jacob, it was to reduce Jacob to a sense of his nothingness, to cause him to see that he was a poor, helpless, worthless creature, and to teach him and to teach us today that the all-important lesson, which the scripture says, that in our weakness lies our strength. And this was the lesson that God was trying to teach Jacob. The lesson that he's trying to teach us as a church today, or us individual in situations, that in our recognized weakness lies the strength of God. So we have here in verse 24 and 25 a bodily wrestling match, a mental wrestling match, a very long struggle. But then in verse 25, when the angel saw that he was not winning the struggle, what did he do? He hit Jacob on the hip. Threw it out of joint. Probably not a complete dislocation. Probably just a stroke like that. What the word does mean to strike with violence. But what it did, it disabled him for a moment, and we can see him limping against the silhouette sky as the sun is rising, but probably the next day he was okay. But at that moment, this angel had to hit him with a blow that was not dangerous, but was disabling for a moment. Because heretofore, Jacob had sought to order his own life. He had it planned out, A to Z. He had schemed, he had devised. In fact, his first wrestling match was in his mother's womb when he wrestled with his brother Esau. And he grabbed onto the heel. And so now he's wrestling again. And he's left alone. And he is being shown what a perfectly helpless creature he was in himself. But then we go to verse 26. In verse 26, the man said, let go. The angel said, let go. Daylight's coming. Now they're coming to a point where Jacob says, I've got to have this blessing. I want you to bless me, God. I'm going to cling to you. And this is what God is asking us as a church to do today, to cling. Young people, God is wanting you to cling to him. Adults, he is wanting us to cling to him. And the lesson that we can learn easily from Jacob, which is not an easy lesson to do ourselves, because we go about our own business, is just to abide, deeply abide, with our prayer and with our presence in God, and just cling on to him, and cling on to him, and cling on to him. We can't see what's happening in January, we cling on to him. We can't see how things are going to work out right now in certain situations, in certain families, we cling on to him. We can't see how it's going to happen, what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day. We cling on. Jesus said, Today's got enough worries of its own. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. Just cling on. Cling on with all your might. And as you cling, you will find in verse 27 and 28 a name change occurs. The angel said, "What's your name?" And the reply was Jacob. And the angel said, "Your name will be no longer Jacob, because you have struggled with God, you've struggled with men, and you've won. And so your name will be changed to Israel." As a church, we have struggled with God, and we have struggled with men, and a name change is occurring in building. There is the new. Your pastor's even getting a new Bible to start using in January of next year. We have a new place to meet. Our face is going to be different. And while we may be still called the community church, the people of the city are going to know that there is a change in our nature, because we're going to start doing what disciples are supposed to be doing. And we can get all excited about what is going to happen in this change, as he had a name change. And the reward, verse 29 and 32, Jacob said, "Tell me your name." And he said, "Why do you want to know my name?" He didn't answer his question, but he blessed Jacob. People, that's the reward that we're going to have. He is going to bless you. He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. That's the reward. And as we see him walking away, as it says here, he limped away. We may be limping away from a building. We may be limping away in personal problems that we go through. But there is the rising of the Son of Righteousness. And so our church is silhouetted not against a sunset, but a sunrise. Because after the struggle, the sun came up. Any amens to that? After the struggling in your life, the sun's going to come up. The Son of Righteousness, as well as the physical sun. And so as we see him walking away, he is walking away changed in body and changed in soul, and the change is happening to us. So people, bottom line for lessons, let me just quickly give you five lessons. Number one, persistence. We have wearied God long enough with our sins. Let's try to weary God with our prayers about little things as well as big things. And we've prayed about big things. What about the little things? It'd be a fearful calamity if we couldn't go to God with our little things that bother us, because it's the little things that cause so many great problems in our life. So, number one, persistence. Let's start wearying him with these little... Pray about everything. Pray about the little things and the big things. Number two, God is after our welfare. And remember that. He sees our trials ahead of us. And he remembers that we are merely dust, just dust, and we're frail. But he is devising a means to bless us through that and to help us through that. Persistence. Number two, God's after your welfare. He's after the church's welfare too. Jesus died for the church. Number three, salvation is free, but it's not given to anybody who will not earnestly seek it. And number four, we mentioned earlier the bottom line of this, that which hinders us in our growth in grace is not so much spiritual weakness as it is in the confidence in our own natural strength. And the evidence is the limp. I guess that could be a lesson. The evidence was the limp. Three statements. Men in general must be taught that those who will be disciples of Christ must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, mortify their members which are upon earth. Second statement, those who have not cut off a right hand or plucked out a right eye for the kingdom's sake are not very likely to see God. And the religion that cost us nothing is to us worth nothing. We're in a struggle, and it's dark, But people,
the light's shining, and it's going to shine upon all we who stay together during this time. Your family stay together, the church stays together, and together we fortify the strength one of another. And so this great struggling match, this great wrestling match took place. And again, while we as Jacob are on the right path, doing the right thing, talking about what God will have us do, making our moves, as we make our moves, the latter part of this month, next month, and then of course in January when we make our move, while we're on paths of obedience, which your pastor believes we are on, we must expect to encounter those things that will test our faith. We must expect those things to test our faith. Let's stand, may we? And Father, as we stand in your presence, you know, really, no matter what we may think about ourselves, in fact, no matter what other people may think about us, the great question is, what do you think about us individually? Help us, Lord, this week to get along with you. And help us to realize that when we are quiet before you, we can answer that question. We can learn what you think about us when we're left alone. We can get your correct judgment about ourselves when we're left alone. We bless you, Father, for what you have done, and we bless you for what you're doing right now as we worship you, as we stand in your presence, for the healing hand of God that can touch us right now. We thank you. And we thank you further, Father, for tomorrow and the tomorrows that come our way. For we will do as you told your children, not only as a church, but individually. We will not think about the former things. We will not remember the days of old. We will remember that you are doing a new thing. Behold, it is springing up right now. Father, give us the eyes to see what you're doing and be part of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we leave, if you're here today and you would like to be present.